Welcome to the Delta Flyers. I am your host, Garrett Wong. And of course, as always, my co-host is Mr. Robbie Duncan McNeil. Hey, Robbie.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just want to bring up one thing, first of all. Couple of episodes, we reviewed Macrocosm, and we talked about how we were at the halfway point. A lot of our fans went ahead and posted on Patreon saying that we are not at the halfway point. Halfway point would be all of season three and then half of season four, because we were thinking three.
Yes.
And a half. Yeah, we're not even at the halfway
point. I know. I think I saw something about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, how stupid.
Of course. Our math is completely off. We were completely thinking the other way. So that is not right. Okay.
But good. So we have more.
We have more to do.
Good.
Exactly. We have more to do. So that's a good thing. So this week's episode, we're going to be talking and reviewing Coda. Coda is the episode.
Coda.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a lot of these scripts for years. Like I had a collection of scripts, you know, of our show that I kept for years. I don't know where that is now.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a lot of extra copies of Coda for some reason. Like in my mind, I see it on the cover. I'm like, I feel like there was a ton of Coda scripts. I don't know why I got.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means, you know, I was in it a lot. I doubt it. It's just random. Anyway.
Well, you know, it's funny because I always recall, you know how Jonathan Phillips is always joking around, right? The guy's always joking around. I used to remember he would name off just episode titles talking about, you know, something about how important
making a joke.
About making a joke. And he would say, well, you know, and Coda would be one of them. Well, what about Coda? Coda's a really fabulous episode. He would make this thing
and
up.
He doesn't, I'm sure he doesn't remember anything about it.
No, this is always off camera and he's always joking, right? So Coda is one of those names.
Well, let's go watch Coda.
Yes, let's go watch this episode and we'll be right back, guys. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for What Do We Remember? Hey guys, we're back from watching Coda.
Yes, we are.
Huh.
This feels like a repeat. Like
this feels like Groundhog Day. It's like Groundhog Day. Right?
Starting a recap right now feels like a repeat.
I get you. All right.
I feel like we've been here before.
We have been here before. Oh my God.
Wait a minute. NTM? Were we talking about a talent show? What? Was there a talent show? What? Okay.
What did you do in that talent show? We didn't even talk about this. Oh. What do you think Tom Paris did in the talent show? I'm gonna say go ahead.
I don't know. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say you did a slide presentation on 20th century vehicles.
Yes. Something like that. That sounds good. That sounds good.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Okie dokie.
Let's start with our poetry.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I almost
did. You have more talent for Tom Paris?
Well, yeah, I did. I was going to say that
you're very talented.
Tom Paris shows us how to do 20th popular 21st century dances like the Macarena and you know, things like
absolutely.
That. Maybe Tom led everyone.
You're right. I think Tom is a dancer.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Good. Let's hear your haiku.
Here's my haiku. Here's for Coda, my haiku. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Lots of mouth to mouth. Janeway caught in a death loop. Resist, space daddy. Yeah, there you go.
I try not to laugh.
There was lots of mouth to mouth, and I just caught a death loop. And never trust a space daddy. That's all I got to say.
Did Rebecca help you with that one, or did you? Is that all yours?
I will not reveal if I get assistance. I will never.
Oh,
never.
Okay. You're not going to give up. Give up your source. Give up your contact. Your secret. Okay, fine. All right. Here's my limerick. Here we go.
Yes.
My limerick for Coda. There once was a captain named Janeway who was caught in a time loop highway. She continued to die. Fake dad tried to pry her away from her normal work day.
Ooh, I like it. That's one of my favorite ones.
Thank you. Like
that. That's a good limerick. It was that, worth the extra time. I know
that took
know
40 you, minutes to come yes. up with.
it was worth it.
Thank you. I felt like my last few limericks have just been kind of rambly. And I thought, well, let me just stick to the typical limerick structure that people are really used to hearing.
So. It was right in the pocket. I thought that was a good one. Very good work.
Thank you.
Good work.
I feel so justified and validated now. Thank you. All right. Written by Jerry Taylor, directed by Nancy Malone, who I don't even remember.
You don't remember Nancy?
Please tell me explain who Nancy
Malone. Nancy was very good friends with Kate. Very dear friends, honestly.
What?
And I don't know if they were friends before. I don't remember if Voyager was the thing that brought them together, but they stayed very dear friends until Nancy Malone passed away. And I think about 6 or 8 years ago, they were very close. I think they spent time in Ireland together. After Voyager was done, Nancy was, I don't know how many episodes she directed, but I remember her vividly. And she's, let's talk about Nancy for a minute. She was one of the pioneers of female directors. She started as an actress, I remember. She was from New York, started as a model. She's a beautiful and talented actress and model. And by the time I think she got in her 40s, she realized that the roles for women at that point were not very good or challenging. Mm-hmm. And so she sort of led the way. She was one of the first female executive producers and directors.
Wow.
And she founded something I think called Women in Film, which is still a very powerful and important organization. Yeah, Nancy was a groundbreaker in terms of female directors and mm-hmm. producers and executives. She was awesome. I loved Nancy. I thought she was great.
A true pioneer.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel bad now because I really don't, you know, I was watching the credits and I just sat there and I thought, why do I have no recollection of this person? I don't remember speaking to her, meeting her, having her give me any direction on anything. You know what I'm saying? Like usually I remember a tidbit or at least some type of interaction or a personal story about a director
that
we've had. But this director, I plead the fifth. I can't remember anything about her, unfortunately.
I don't know how many episodes she directed. I'm sure we could easily find that out, but I don't think it was many.
Okay.
And you know, you and I didn't have much to do in this episode, so we weren't involved with Nancy very much.
Okay.
If she directed other episodes, I'd be curious to know what those stories were.
Right.
Maybe she directed one where I had a little more to do.
Maybe.
Or maybe, I don't know, or maybe because Kate has talked about her over the years quite a bit. So I feel like I remember her maybe even more than, you know, than I actually do.
Yeah. But, I think I do remember Kate talking about her. That sort of starts to ring a bell now, and spending time with her in Ireland. I remember that as well.
Yeah. How'd you feel about this episode? One from 1 to 10, 10 being the best.
I'm going to give it probably about a 6.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe 7, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I was going to go 7 or 8. I was going to go 7 or 8.
Okay.
A little higher, which is, you know, sometimes we flipperoo.
Yeah.
I feel like typically I'm a little lower than your scores.
You usually
But on this
are.
One, I think I went a little higher. I guess I would go 7 or 8 because I thought the direction was really good. I think Nancy did a great job. I noticed that before the credits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very well staged and shot. And I also thought Kate did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was a bit of a tour de force for her.
Yeah.
I thought Robert Beltran gave it his all. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of those moments,
we
get into the story. But, and I thought overall it was a way that a sci-fi show like ours can deal with kind of spiritual things in a way.
Yeah.
It was a great, it was really well written by Jerry Taylor, I thought, to deal with spiritual afterlife issues and consciousness and what happens when we die. And I thought it was a really interesting premise that in death there's a sci-fi explanation for it, a version of that I thought was interesting, because later on when we get to the end of this, you know, this episode, we'll talk about it, but you know, there is sort of a sci-fi answer to what happens to our consciousness when we go to a different place, and one possible answer for that. So anyway,
and I think maybe my score on this episode is lower because I feel like we've already visited this theme in season one, Harry Kim's episode Emanations, where he dies and goes back, comes back to life, and he has to go to another dimension, basically, or he experiences the afterlife, you know? So there's those questions there. They were already asked by that episode. So I felt like this is sort of a rehash, you know, like this is Janeway's version of afterlife, whereas Harry
absolutely,
had his.
That's true.
And so I enjoyed it for what it was, but that's why I rated it a little bit lower than you did. And then we start out, let's start out just with our recap. We're in the corridor and Neelix is with Janeway, and Neelix asks Janeway at the end of this conversation to keep Tuvok busy on the bridge that evening. What is going on? What are they referring to? I am so confused. I'm like, huh?
I was so confused in that first scene. I think intentionally the first scene they're walking, they're talking about last night was great. And you were really great, Captain. She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, what are they talking about?
Well, that's the talent show. That's the talent show part. But then I'm assuming they're talking about the talent show now that I filled in the blanks. They haven't talked about the talent show. We don't know.
No. The first scene, we don't know what they're talking about.
No. But I'm filling in the blank after I've seen the whole episode. But I still can't fill in the blank of that question or that request from Neelix. They keep Tuvok busy on some evening coming up. Like, what's going on?
I think it was just kind of a jab at whatever Tuvok did a reading of.
Oh, that's right. The Vulcan poetry readings. That's probably what it was.
Like, I think it was literally like, keep Tuvok busy because that Vulcan poetry reading was painful.
That makes sense.
It was a jab at him. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So, so we don't know in this first scene what the heck they're talking about.
No.
And then we go on to a shuttle, and Chakotay and the captain are off exploring. And they're talking about the talent show. That's when we realize, that's what they were talking about.
Correct.
That's what Neelix and Janeway were talking about. There was a talent show.
Yeah.
And Janeway admits that she did a ballet, an interpretive dance called The Dying Swan. And Chakotay is very complimentary. She's like, that's just a ballet I learned when I was 6 years old.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how good could this ballet be? If it was a six-year-old ballet dance about a dying swan, it could not. I don't know. I don't care what Chakotay says. It could not have been that amazing. But maybe Janeway's got talents. I don't know.
I was dying to. I wish I could have seen. I wanted to see the dying swan once you talked about it, because you're not going to peg Janeway for the dancer type, right?
No.
I mean, she's not talked about dancing before. There's been a couple of instances where she paints something, but not dancing, and definitely not ballet. So it would have, I would have loved to see her plié. You know,
I would have loved to have seen this.
An arabesque or whatever these names are that from the ballet world that I don't know about. I'm guessing. Yeah.
You pulled it off.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So they're in the shuttle and all of a sudden they have some turbulence.
Yeah.
There's kind of a rough entry. Ion lightning, they say.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ion lightning and there's a hydrazine gas leak. And they're very, in a lot of danger. Mm-hmm. So they have to make an emergency landing on this planet.
Right.
And I got to say, it was very dramatic suddenly with this ion lightning. And there was a lot of shaking and stuff. I'm going to say I rate their shaking, Chakotay and Janeway's shaking in this scene, as a 1 out of 10.
Wow.
They need to go back to basics on the shaking.
Are you telling me they need a remedial course in shaking 101? Yes. Oh my goodness.
It was not great shaking. I got to say.
I'm sorry. I did not get pulled out by the substandard shaking. I didn't notice that.
It was zero shaking. They did no interactive, like the cameras were shaken, but there was zero interactive. They were and I was like, man, we're in season 3 and we should know about how to shake on the shuttle with this kind of turbulence for sure.
We should know that.
We should.
And the directors got to the point, I think we might've already talked about this, but how they would call out numbers, like the severity of the shake. So if it was a 1, it wasn't a big shake. People just moved a little bit. And if he's like 10, then there was people were like going all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So we were becoming really professional shakers, all of us.
I thought we were much better than this. And I was very disappointed in Beltran and Kate Mulgrew.
Yeah.
Beltran and Mulgrew need to go back to shake class because that was not great shaking. We'll leave it there.
Well, maybe Nancy Malone needed to speak with Kim Friedman, who sent the video of How to Shake to us, right? The other female director we had on Voyager.
Yeah.
Could have debriefed Miss Malone and had her, you know about the shaking properly.
I think if Paris was flying that shuttle, they would have landed fine. They would have been fine.
I agree.
Chakotay did not have the moves, and I think he was responsible for this crash on the planet. Paris could have easily gotten out of that ion lightning. I'm just saying.
You're not going to blame it on the fire or the lightning, the fire of phasers from the Vidians or the lightning.
Paris could have.
You could have avoided all that. All right. I see. Although I will say there is that little bit of foreshadowing where Janeway jokes about the next talent show, you know, having Chakotay do something at the next talent show. She says, maybe I can put an apple on my head and you can shoot it off with a phaser. And he goes, yeah. And if I miss, I get to be captain. And that's the foreshadowing that basically if she dies,
he's the guy.
Yeah. And that she ends up dying multiple times over and over again. So there is that little foreshadowing moment, which I thought was humorous. But I like the banter between those two, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike the banter we saw in the shuttle between Chakotay and Torres that didn't really kind of move us. It didn't move the needle for us, you know, when we were watching that. We were a little bit like, but definitely you can see how well Chakotay and the captain get along, you know, more.
Yeah. I got to say, and we're getting ahead of ourselves again, but this episode, like, they literally have written multiple episodes now where it's clearly a Janeway Chakotay connection. Mm-hmm. Like there's more than just buddy buds.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they've written, and then I heard one comment in this episode where Janeway says, deep into the episode, she's like, I can't leave. I want to see if Paris and Torres, you know, can get over there, stop fighting and become friends. And I'm like, what are you talking? They haven't written anything for Paris and B'Elanna really yet. Right. I mean, we're you know, as we recap, we're looking into every moment, but there's really nothing there.
Yeah.
But yet there's totally something there with Janeway Chakotay, and they just never followed through. So I'm with the shippers on this one. I think they've laid a foundation for Chakotay and Janeway. It's strong.
And sorry to play devil's advocate. There is one little something there between Paris and Torres. We saw that when you guys were inspecting the food replicators. Remember that? She came to fix those food replicators. Yeah. And there is that little kind of like cynical or sharp wit that was thrown back and forth a little bit, right? So I think that's the very first inklings of a possibility. And then
it's
for Janeway,
so subtle.
It is subtle,
compared
but then
to what Janeway, the, compared to Chakotay and Janeway so far in the series, they have a lot more relationship.
Of course, in comparison,
we did.
In comparison, but I do think Janeway's line when she says, "Oh, I want to see if Tom and B'Elanna can finally have a real friendship." I felt like that was a little bit of foreshadowing. I think this is the point where the writers thought, "Yep, we're going to make those guys a couple." I feel like this is something that maybe, you know, the beginnings of that at least, right?
Yeah, I think so too.
So there, we find them on the planet surface. Janeway is unresponsive and not breathing. Chakotay revives her. And I got to tell you, there's a couple of times that I thought Chakotay was just going to lean over and kiss Janeway. At that point, after he revived her, there was just this kind of connection or bond.
A couple of things there. One is Beltran carried Kate Mulgrew from the shuttle into the cave.
Yes.
And we've talked about this before. It's not easy to carry another human being.
Another adult human being.
Yes. Let's face it. Often when we're filming, that's something that you get stunt people to do or you. So I was very impressed that Beltran carried her, picked her up, carried her across to the caves and set her down. I know they did that in peace as they broke it up. So he didn't ever have to do that full carry, but that was impressive, you know, that he did that.
Yeah.
And that was them. That was not doubles or faked in any way.
Right.
And then when he's giving her CPR, she's knocked out. He got so passionate.
Yes,
He did. He was like, you know, Catherine. Like,
yes.
You know, trying to revive her. It's like you see he's got strong feelings. This is not just a colleague.
Yeah.
You know.
Very
trying
much
to help out another colleague.
Did you get that sense that he was going to lean over and kiss her at all?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
There was a moment after he revives and he says, you set up a homing signal. And then they sit there for like a long beat and just sort of look in each other's eyes. And then he gets up and goes,
what? Really? After they talk about the homing, they talk about the homing beacon, and then they stare into each other's. I don't remember.
Yes. Okay. Yes. He says, okay, you set up a homing beacon.
Yeah.
And then there's this very long look where she's laying down and he's just kneeled over her, looking at her. It was very strange. and then he walks back to the shuttle and she's adjusting her comm badge. She's going to
turn
into the thing.
Okay.
And then she's like, he comes back, he kind of scans the outside of the shuttle and she's like, what were you looking at? And he goes, oh, it's phaser burns on the hull. I think we were shot down. This wasn't ion lightning. This was an attack.
Yeah.
There's a Vidian signature.
That's right.
On these things. And so he says, kill the homing beacon.
Yeah. They're going to find us.
She says this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could find us. So she goes to turn off the homing beacon. And sure enough, there's life signs and they're surrounded. They got to go into a cave.
Yeah.
So they run into the cave. And just as they get in the cave, they're surrounded by Vidians and there's a Vidian attack. They shoot Chakotay. Down he goes. And then one of the Vidians comes over and grabs Janeway by the neck and he's choking and choking and choking her.
Yeah.
And she's dying very dramatically.
You know, I know there must be self-defense courses when you're going through Starfleet. It just looked like Janeway and Chakotay just had no skills to even try to defend themselves. They seemed to be overrun too quickly.
Very quickly. Right? Well, there were a lot of Vidians.
There were a lot.
They were on all sides of the cave, all around.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She goes down and she's like, you know, choked out.
Yes.
Dies.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, boom, the same shot back in the shuttle where we see them start to talk about the talent show again.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck? They're talking about the talent show for a second. And then all of a sudden they went, wait, we've been here before. Like they remember.
Yeah.
They remember that this is a reset and they're like, okay, let's avoid, we're not going to take the same steps. Let's not, land on that planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to change their choices so that they don't repeat the same moves.
Yeah.
But this Vidian ship approaches.
Right.
And there's a Vidian ship and their shots fired and the shuttle explodes. And, so she died. She died in the cave. She died for the second time.
They were, just to mention, they were about to eject the warp core, but they didn't have time to, and the entire shuttle explodes. So that's how she dies the second time.
Exactly.
Right? So they try it again. They try it again. They're back in the same situation. And this time they try a tachyon burst. And now that does something because the Vidian ships all of a sudden disappear.
Yeah.
So now the shuttle heads back to Voyager. So they get back to Voyager. They're on the bridge.
By the way, let's go back to tachyon burst. Let's get rid of this. Yeah, this shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca reminded me when Beltran is saying tachyon burst.
Yeah.
There is a blooper reel. There's a blooper reel that's like 5 minutes long of Voyager stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a whole section, big section of it where Beltran and Kate keep cracking up in the shuttle because he can't say tachyon burst.
It's this scene?
This is the scene. This is the scene where he just keeps screwing up his line over Beltran over. And you remember when he screwed up a line, he would get so mad.
He would.
Yeah.
He would. I mean, this is a guy who, his preferred way of acting is Shakespearean plays, right?
Yes.
So when he's doing sci-fi, which is not his cup of tea, it's hard to remember the techno babbles. I'm really standing up for Beltran here. I mean, if you're doing something you really don't care much for, a genre that's not your favorite, you're going to not get lines right.
Yeah, this is the blooper reel. You can Google it. It's on YouTube or somewhere. Look for the tachyon burst.
Oh, my God. Very funny.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, let's continue. So now they're on the bridge, and yep. Janeway realizes when she starts talking about the time loop, nobody knows what she's talking about. She's like,
Not even Chakotay.
So she's like, she is the only person that experienced this time loop. Okay, so now she has to go to the sick bay. The doctor runs a microscope.
But important detail, she's describing this, and Chakotay says, I remember the first part that you described when we crashed on the planet.
Okay.
But I don't remember anything else.
That's important detail. Yes, you're right.
So that little detail to me was a clue of like, okay, the first part, but she went off on her own journey after that.
Yeah.
You know, and to me. Okay.
Yep. So she took this other path. And so now she's in sick bay, and the doctor has run a microcellular scan, which shows that Janeway has actually contracted a disease. And guess which disease? The Vidian phage, the disease that nobody wants. Phage. Yeah, she has the phage, or we could say it phage.
Yes, the phage.
The phage. Yeah, so the phage happens, and basically the doctor explains to her, and also hallucinations are part of the early symptoms of phage. So this is what's going on. You've been having hallucinations. And that's that whole thing with being attacked. And
she's also like, how did I get this? Yeah. How could I have possibly gotten this?
Yeah.
And he said, well, you had physical contact when she was choked in the cave.
Right.
She had some physical contact, and so she might have contracted it there.
But she also argues, she goes, we've had close physical contact with Vidians before, and nothing happened. So the doctor says, well, maybe the virus has, you know,
is mutated
into another, another strain of that virus.
And
right?
He quarantines her. He quarantines her.
Poor
just
Janeway.
Like all of us have been quarantined.
Yes.
For the last year.
Yes. Shades of pandemic that we're dealing with while watching this episode. That is for sure. And she sleeps for 40 hours. And that sounds like people after their vaccination shot, sleeping for being really tired and just out of it. So she sleeps for 40 hours behind this bioforce field. And she wakes up, the disease is spreading. And
she's got the phage, as you see it already. She's got the lesions and the marks of the phage, and it's happening very quickly. And the doctor explains, you're going to have a lingering, painful death. Mm-hmm. And the only solution, the doctor says, is euthanasia.
Which is so shocking.
Like, what?
Yeah. Like, well, I think it's really interesting the way Nancy directed this, because she really brought the tone and the volume down in terms of the speaking, you know, the dialogue between Janeway and the doctor. It's the lowest I've ever heard Janeway talk, you know, it's almost in a whisper at times. And so everything's very quiet. And so when the doctor, and even the doctor's like that, he matches her level, and he's like, well, there's only one suggestion, Captain, euthanasia. And it's just coming from that line delivery, the audience is like, what? Excuse me?
I know.
Come again? I mean,
it was like a record scratch moment.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was, and back to her direction, it was, it was beautifully staged and lit. I thought Marvin did a great job, because it was very dark in there.
The lighting was wonderful. Yes. I agree.
It looked great.
So he fills the space. He fills the space with between the force field with a neurotoxin. That's what he tells her in the middle of the conversation. And she's starting to freak out.
She's
now.
Like, no,
no, no, wait a minute. Delete. Stop. Yeah, she can't. Okay. None of her authorization, her captain's authorization codes are working. So now she is basically dying from this neural toxin, and we get to see her die yet again. She dies better than she did in the cave. The cave death bothered me. It was too, I don't know. It didn't sound painful.
Quick.
It sounded pleasurable.
Sounded like she might be enjoying it.
Yes. So I like this death. This death was really asphyxiation. Yeah. She played that well. And I think it's always impressive to watch actors, you know, do a death scene, because let's face it, we have no experience of death for real. So we have to really come up with what we think is going to happen, how do things shut down in us. And I think Janeway does a good job in that, or Kate does it a good job.
Yeah. Well, she died many different ways in this episode. So Very challenging. Yeah, she dies. She dies big in that scene. Bam. Yep. She's out.
She's done.
And suddenly we're back in the shuttle.
One more time. Back in the shuttle.
And it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But this time there's this bright anomaly outside.
Yeah, that's the difference. They see the anomaly, right? And they're trying to get away. No, I'm sorry. One person is. Janeway's like, get away, get away. Chakotay's like, no, go towards it. Maybe we're doing the wrong thing. Maybe we need to fly into it. She disagrees. And of course, fighting against it is the wrong thing because, you know, she basically now has an out-of-body experience where she's seeing Chakotay trying to revive her from this shuttle crash. Yeah.
We go back to that first version of the story where they're down on the planet and he's performing CPR, but she's watching it all standing over herself and Chakotay. And he cries so hard when she dies in that scene.
Yeah.
He cries. And I thought Beltran did a deeply emotional, great acting, but also just from a Chakotay Janeway shipper perspective, like really personal and emotional. I don't know how you come back from, you know, and don't have a relationship with these guys. Anyway, crying was great. She even tries to touch him. Janeway tries to touch him and her hand goes right through. So,
Ghost. Yeah. Let's call her Ghost Janeway from now on. So then we follow, unresponsive dead Janeway body back up to sick bay where she is literally pronounced dead by the doctor at 0320 hours of massive cerebral vascular collapse. That's a tongue twister for you right there. Massive cerebral vascular collapse. Okay. And Chakotay, you can even see it. He has no lines, but when he realized she's dead, I mean, he's just, he can't even take it. He leaves. No, he's done.
He leaves in silence. Yep. And Janeway this whole time is trying to talk telepathically with Kes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like in sick bay, like Kes is in there helping the doctor, the doctor snapping at Kes while he's trying to save Janeway. Yeah. But Janeway dies and the
ghost Janeway
is trying to talk telepathically. She's going, Kes, you can hear me. You have to, you know, you've talked telepathically before. Nope, nothing. Kes heads down the hall.
Yeah.
And Janeway is following her. And Janeway's like, you've got to hear me. And she literally stands in front of Kes as she continues to walk down the hall. And Kes walks right through her. Yeah. And suddenly Kes stops and she turns around. Yeah. She did feel something.
Yeah.
Janeway didn't want to give up. And it worked for a second.
Right.
Kes felt something.
Right.
So he jumped to the briefing room.
Yeah.
And they decide, they're talking about Kes's experience. Mm-hmm. And Chakotay says, I think Paris says, it might be some kind of alternate dimension in subspace or something is where she might be.
Yep.
And Chakotay says, let's do this. Yeah. B'Elanna's going to run a full subspace sweep.
Right.
Try to find this, anything in this subspace alternate dimension.
Right.
And off they go.
And they're in engineering. And now we finally see Harry Kim. This is literally, this is about the halfway point of the episode that Harry pops his face into a scene. And it's, they're doing a scan. And Harry has a really nice little bit of techno babble there. He says, while Torres and Kim are scanning subspace, you hear Harry says, the forward array is ready to scan for temporal phase shifting, chronoton particles, or field flux. And I'm watching me say this line and I'm like, I don't know where I'm just trying to understand what I was,
what you were playing.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was playing, like, I want to ask you
all business.
Yeah. Just business.
I feel like what you were playing is like all business. Like I'm on this, I'm all business.
Yeah.
And, I don't, it felt realistic.
It felt organic, right? It felt
organic.
Yeah.
It, this is what I'm saying. Like, because of Chakotay's emotional investment, like if this were just colleagues, then it would just be all business.
Yeah, that's true.
There would be some emotional connection, but the fact that his response to this event is so emotional, and I think Harry's response is all business, it kind of shows the difference between his, Chakotay's personal connection.
Most
Harry, and later on, not to jump too far ahead, but later on.
Right.
Harry has a moment where he is emotional, at the appropriate time. But right now he's all business.
Right. Well, the anomaly appears now, right? So the anomaly appears at the door, the entranceway of engineering.
This light kind of
light. Yeah.
And but nobody sees it, by the way.
No, but Ghost Janeway does, right?
Ghost Janeway sees it.
And as he's walking out, I thought, Admiral Paris? Like, that's what That's why that's I was funny. Walking out of there. Well,
yeah.
Another silver-haired Starfleet, you know, officer walks out.
Yeah.
And it turns
out... Well, Len Cariou is the actor.
Yes.
Len Cariou walks out of this bright light and only Janeway can see him. And I got to pause about Len Cariou for a minute.
Yes.
I am a huge fan of Len Cariou.
I knew you'd
be. I saw him in the original production of Sweeney Todd on Broadway.
Oh my goodness.
The musical opera about the barber. The
demon barber, yes.
Demon barber that kills people.
Yeah.
And they turn him into pies. But I saw him in very early days of that musical on Broadway, and it was profound, that experience. He was so good. Oh. The whole production was phenomenal.
See, I'm getting goosebumps now by you telling me this.
Yeah, I was, having Len Cariou on our show was huge to me.
Yeah.
I've worked with Len again. I've directed him a few times on Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
Where he's the patriarch on that show. But, right. And I've, you know, told him every time I get to work with him, I tell him about that Sweeney Todd story. And I got his autograph. I bought the program.
Oh,
and
nice.
I got his autograph and Angela Lansbury's autograph. From that cast, and it was up on my wall, like, you know, pinned up on my wall when I was a teenager, and was a big, very valuable souvenir for me. I was a huge fan. So anyway,
You know,
Len Cariou.
We should do a deep dive of all the actors that we kind of look up to at some point. You know, I'd like to hear everyone else, because you definitely have a lot of people that you've, you know, admired over the years, and you got a chance to work with him again, which is fabulous.
No, I know, it's crazy.
Wonderful. He talks about the fact that, you know, that Janeway's dad drowned under the polar ice cap.
What? He walks out and he's horrible. And she goes, "Daddy?"
Yeah.
That was the first moment. I was like, she's daddy? Yeah. I was like, what? He goes, "Yes, it's me." And she goes, "You can't be you." Yeah. "You drowned under a polar ice cap."
She said, "You died 15 years ago." And he goes, "That's right. Drowned under a polar ice cap on Tau." Uh-huh. Now, here's the thing. He pronounced it Tau CT prime, where it's spelled CETI. It should be Tau Ceti prime, right? So,
Ceti,
Or maybe that is the correct pronunciation, but I always thought it was Tau Ceti prime. But
I think you're correct on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he drowned, and she's very skeptical. And he says to her, "Catherine, you're dead.
Yeah.
And this is just your consciousness. This is your consciousness not wanting to let go.
Right.
Not wanting to cross over.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he says, you know, eventually you will cross over to this, to another state of consciousness. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You have to let go.
Yeah.
And he reminds her of her grief when he died, and how she felt like his presence. And he even described some moments in her memory. Because she's skeptical at first, like, "It's not you." Mm-hmm. And he remembers all this detail. And he said, "I was like you. I didn't want to cross over. And I remember watching you grieve for weeks, and you didn't want to let go until finally you did. And I was able to cross over, and it's beautiful. Come with me."
Yeah. The words that they wrote for him were, "It's full of joy and indescribable wonder," like that. Yes. Those words are lush and rich, and it makes me think of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And it makes me think of, you know, something that everybody wants to go check out. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
she's like, "I'm not quite ready."
Right.
Tuvok's quarters. He's trying to mind meld with Kes.
Mm-hmm.
And Janeway's watching, observing all of this. And she's like, "You know, Tuvok, you must hear me. You know, you're one of my closest friends." And they try really hard. Tuvok goes through a lot of Vulcan steps to clear Kes's mind and hear something, and they hear nothing. And so basically, at the end of the scene, they accept that she is dead.
Yeah.
And Kes leaves, and Tuvok has a wonderful moment where he leaves a log, officer's log.
Yeah.
And he just has a very tender, sweet moment where he says, "She was a good friend that I will never replace."
Mm-hmm.
And Janeway hears this, and I thought that was a very tender moment.
Yeah, it was. Most definitely. Now we're in the mess hall where the memorial service is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Torres speaks first, and you see Harry sitting oddly in a single chair, like a family portrait.
Yes.
Like,
what? He was. Yeah. He was kind of sitting off by the windows, and you know, had
people
like
behind him,
kind of in a formation behind him.
Yes, in a yeah, really random formation. Yeah, yes. Exactly. And I'm starting to remember when we were filming that we were all given these directions of like, okay, you two, you sit, you stand this way, you stand a little forward. And like, there was no order. No, you know, it was all jumbled up, kind of random how people yeah. were placed in that memorial service, right? There wasn't yeah. as official lines of chairs where everyone was seated orderly yeah. like that. It was just yeah. very, very informal. So she talks about how, you know, she didn't get along with Janeway in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was really Janeway that saw something in her that she didn't even see. She saw the worthiness of B'Elanna mm-hmm. Torres, and that she should be the chief engineer. She's worthy of that. And that she had faith in B'Elanna Torres. And so B'Elanna talks about that the fact that Janeway had faith in her mm-hmm. made it so that she had faith in herself. So really it helped her grow as a person or as a half human person and half Klingon person. And the gift that Janeway gave to Torres and a lot of us is the knowledge that we are better and stronger than we think.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Harry speaks next. He tells of a yeah. story of eating ripe fruit on an away mission and how his hands and mouth were stained purple and how Janeway sat down next to him and he looks over and her mouth is stained purple too. And at that point, the interesting camera angle. Harry's completely out of focus and it's just on Janeway and Janeway is listening to Harry's story. And this is something that I don't recall. I don't remember her crying. But then
she
again,
cried. It was,
yeah, I wasn't
she,
looking
she just
at her.
Had like a quiet tear rolling down her face.
It yeah, was more it was than one. She had both. If you look carefully,
oh.
she had one to begin with. And then it filled. It was really, it really welled up. Which is now the second time that I've cried now watching Voyager episodes up until this oh. point was watching her cry. Made me cry in a way.
Oh.
Yeah. And I also wonder.
Well, it was very sweet because Harry goes, you know, she wouldn't want us to be sad.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd want us to have good memories. And yeah. and you tell the story about the,
mm-hmm.
You know, your mouth all
yeah.
purple.
And I do think, Robbie, that I got to a point where I had more tear showing where she, because remember that shot is of her reaction of me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm out of focus, but I think that I might've gotten a little bit more teary eyed at that moment, but you don't see that though, right? Because they
yeah.
didn't take that part, that angle, that view of Harry talking. It was on Janeway.
And he says, you know, these are the, yeah, yeah. Harry gets very emotional when he says, these are the times we have to remember.
Yeah.
And then he
can't
then
finish.
He stumbles. Yeah. And Paris comes over quickly and comforts Harry and kind yeah. of pulls him off, puts his arm on him. And
you pat my arm a lot, actually. You're a pretty good yeah. patter. You know that?
Yeah. I remember that.
You remember patting me? Okay.
I used to, that reminds me. I used to like.
It's better than off camera where you would shove me.
You.
Yeah. Robbie would actually like shove me or push me in a really weird, like sinister older brother way. Like the kind of thing where
like
the older brother
housing.
Looks to see, but the older brother looks to see if the mom and dad are looking, they're not looking, and then does the deed. And that's kind of what Robbie would do.
I did.
But
I
was, on camera,
I would
Robbie's
roughhouse
very caring. Robbie would not roughhouse. Tom doesn't roughhouse Harry. Robbie does roughhouse Garrett.
Yes, yes.
Let's make that delineation between the two.
And then Chakotay says, release the pod.
Yes.
And Richard.
Richard Starstead, who is Robert Beltran's stand-in, actually.
Yeah.
Is the one who does
he blows
the bosun's whistle is what it's called.
Whistle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that little noises.
Yeah.
And then Len Carew, her dad, Janeway's dad, comes over yeah. and says, it's over, Catherine.
Yeah.
There is nothing left for you here. Come with me. Let's go.
Right. This is at the post-reception later on in the mess hall.
Yeah.
Time has passed, right?
Yeah. A little time has passed.
Yeah. Just trying to convince her to leave this reality. This isn't for her. She needs to accept this and move on. Yeah. And Janeway doesn't want to leave because that's mm-hmm. when she says she wants to see what happens with her crew, whether Tom and B'Elanna will ever stop sparring with each other and develop a real friendship. And we're all going, mm-hmm. huh? They're going to develop more than a friendship. That's what I, you know, was thinking actually in my head, but it was just an odd statement for her to have.
Yeah. Yeah. They're starting to, you know, the writers were starting to figure out, okay, let's start laying some foundations here.
Okay.
Down
okay.
the road.
Gotcha. Janeway gets suspicious. Yeah. Janeway gets suspicious.
Yeah, they basically argue. Like, she's really suspicious. He's pushing hard.
The part where he's pushing is, like, I want to save you from this pain. And then Janeway's like, well, my dad always made me learn by my mistakes. He didn't hide me from life. Mm-hmm. And he's definitely not going to hide me from death. So who are you? So she knows at that point, this is not
him. Yeah, that's right. Very suspicious. They argue. And then she has another flash.
Flashback,
where it's her point of view back to that very first story where she was unconscious
on the planet.
But now it's her point of view, and Tuvok and the doctor are there trying to revive her with Chakotay this time.
Yeah.
She realizes that that's point of view is the real part. All the rest is hallucinations.
Yeah.
And she knows that, you know, this daddy, space daddy, is not her real dad.
Mm-hmm.
So she, we see that very first death, that's probably the real story here.
Right.
And that they say something in that point of view, you hear them talk about an alien presence in her injured body.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the doctor. Brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Space Daddy, Len Cariou, says at one point, he says, I've done this many times, but I've never encountered someone so resistant.
Yeah.
And so you start to realize he's admitting he's not. The daddy thing is a hallucination.
Well, he gives up the ruse. He gives it up. Yeah. He's like, okay, fine. You're right. You know, my species helps people who die with crossing over. Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Your conscience will live in this matrix. And she's going like, okay, that thing is where I'm going to be. And she just refuses. She's like, nope, she's too strong. Her will is too strong. And then of course his evil voice comes out at the end. Right.
So, yeah.
He does a really good job.
He says, you're in a dangerous profession, Captain. You face death every day. There will be another time and I'll be waiting. Eventually you'll come into my matrix and you will nourish me for a long, long time.
And then Janeway says, go back to hell, coward.
That's right. And off he goes back into his light ball.
Do you remember when we were kids, Robbie? Hell was a bad word. Like, you didn't see that on TV. Like, we would always call hell HE double hockey sticks, you know, when I was a kid.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was
clever.
Right. But primetime television didn't have any characters really saying the word hell. Even that word was kind of censored, right? But here we go. It's common.
Go back common to hell, phrase. Coward.
Was that your impersonation?
Yeah, that was pretty.
Pretty good. You're getting it. See, that's all I get. Oh.
All right, so she says, go back to hell, and we go back to the planet crash site, and she recovers.
Yes, the entity is gone from her cerebral cortex. Bye-bye.
The entity is gone. Mm-hmm. And yes, the alien presence within her cerebral cortex is gone, and they say a number of times, we thought we lost you. So that's kind of making sense now.
Yeah.
And she says to them, well, from what I saw, it's certainly not where I'd like to spend eternity.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's her feelings about what this guy offered.
When they get up, after she's regained consciousness from the planet surface, they all get up and they start walking away. And Chakotay puts his hand on the small of her back as they're walking out, right? Gentle sort of, you're more than a captain to me kind of move.
Yes, there's something there.
There's something.
And so we jump ahead and she's got a captain's log. She talks about the emotional impact of this experience.
Yeah.
And in her ready room, the door opens. Chakotay comes in. He brings a rose to her.
A single rose.
And he says, after going head to head with Captain Janeway, he must have realized he'd met his match.
Definitely.
Little smooth talker.
And also he says,
buttering her up.
Yes. He says, I'm reminding you that the doctor told you to take it easy. And she's like, you know what? I'd rather stay busy, which is a very Janeway answer.
Absolutely. Think,
for sure. But then she says that, you know, maybe they should celebrate, you know, this win from not being taken by this alien. And she says, a bottle of champagne and a moonlight sail on Lake George. Again, this is not something that Harry suggests to Paris ever. And we're just friends. You know what I'm saying? Harry doesn't go like, hey, Tom, what about a moonlight sail with me on Lake George? Like, I would never ask you for that. But Jamie does. And look at the look on her face. What's the look on her face when she comes out, when she crosses camera? She's got beaming smile on her face. Like, she's 9 years old. Like, she just opened up presents on Christmas, basically.
No, there's definitely something there.
Something's happening.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, so off they go for their romantic moonlight sail. And the very last line, I think, of the episode, Chakotay says, "That sounds like living." There you go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's your theme?
I wrote down, trust your instincts, that things aren't always what they appear. That's the lesson I got from this, because Janeway could have given up a bunch of times, but somewhere deep down in her gut, she knew that she wasn't dead, that this wasn't right. And she kept fighting. So I would say, trust your instincts. Things aren't always what they appear. Question things.
Yeah, all right.
That would be my theme. What about you?
I'm going to go with, I agree. That is part of, that is a theme, or that is a lesson to be learned for the, from this episode. But I also, for me, what stood out was Torres's speech about what Janeway gave to her and a lot of the crew. And that is the knowledge that we are better and stronger than we think. And this is a message. This is a lesson that all of us need to repeat to ourselves. You know what I'm saying? This is something that, will erase self-doubt, because that is something that we all deal with as human beings, is self-doubt. You know, we sit here and think, oh God, I'm not good enough. I just got hired for that job. Maybe they're going to really fire me on the first day, because they'll realize I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for that. You know? So this is something that creeps into every human being's mind, I think, you know, whether you're young, old, middle-aged. And so that is my lesson to be learned, is that you need to believe in yourself, you know, and that you are worthy. That's it.
I like it. Good. Okay.
All right.
Well, that was great. Great episode. I give it a, I'm going to go up to an
eight. I will raise mine. I'm going to raise mine. I'm going to go to seven, actually. I'm not going to stick it at six. So I'm going to go to seven. So it is, it is a good episode for sure. All right. Well, join us next week, guys, as Robbie and I will be reviewing Blood Fever. And should we say we have a special guest? I just said it.
Well, we may have a special guest. We'll see.
Okay. We will see. And for everyone else who happens to be one of our beloved Patreon patrons, we love you. Please stay tuned for your bonus segments.
See you guys.
See ya.